thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
And good evening and welcome to Live Paranormal. You are listening on to the Halloween edition of the Paranormal Chronicles with your host, Rhonda Hall. And I am very, 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 very kind of like upset with some people. I think they're not in chat with me. But that's okay. I know you guys are out partying and having a good time at your Halloween parties. And so hopefully, once you do your Halloween thing, you will be able to come back and listen on to our archives. And but I know you guys will show up eventually. You're just lurking out there. We have a bunch of stalkers, don't we? Anyway, so welcome to the Paranormal Chronicles again. You are listening on at liveparanormal.com. Just tune in, come in, and jump into chat. The only way that you can comment and question on tonight's show is for you to get into liveparanormal.com, come into the chat room, and we will actually be out there reading your responses and reading the questions. But tonight, I just wanted to let you know that tonight's Halloween show is it's a special for you guys. We're gonna be out here talking about our shapeshifters, our skinwalkers, and our dogmen, and mostly related to, you know, our North American, Native American culture. But as some of you don't know, that there a lot of cultures out there actually have the shapeshifters. And I have a very special guest on with me tonight. It's one of my best pals. And Mark, are you there with us?
Hi, Rhonda.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. I hope I can get through this without snorting and snotting and all that kind of gross Halloween stuff.
Halloween slime.
There, the first cough. No, but Mark, I just wanted to thank you for coming on the show with me tonight. I definitely wanted to do something different. I didn't want to, you know, I kind of wanted to, I really enjoy interviewing all the paranormal teams out there, but I wanted to take a step, you know, out of the box, so to speak, and to kind of sit there and talk about some of our creatures that we have, hidden creatures that we have out here in North America, especially with the Native American twist. And you're the first person I thought of when I wanted to bring somebody on.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. And I just want to clarify something real quick.
Sure thing.
Before we go any further, unlike some individuals that are out there, I do not claim to be an expert on any subject. I do, however, have very interesting experiences and different interactions with people that have brought me into a greater knowledge of some things that are taking place in the country. Mm-hmm. And some of them are rather interesting.
And now, some of these things that you're talking about, you know, keeping in kind of step with what tonight's topic is about shapeshifters, dogmen, skinwalkers. Can you explain to the listening audience exactly what we're talking about when we're talking about these creatures? Or, you know, some people think they're it's mythology. It's completely mythology. But what is your feel on the subject?
Well, when we look at history, throughout history, there are mentionings within every culture of creatures or people that have the ability to shift to and from, either from an animal form to a human form, mm-hmm. or from a human form to an animal form. And the interesting thing about the subject is there is throughout history, there has always been a a tendency to tie shape-shifting with some sort of dark sorcery.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are many things that we don't understand and that we don't know what they are. I believe that that it's possible that some of the correlation between these practices or beliefs, they may have basis in dark sorcery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, everything that happens, it's kind of like looking at cause and effect. You know, every cause or every action has an effect or outcome, and there is always pre-catalyst to that, and it is possible that the dark arts may come into play.
Okay. Now, I was just reading here that they were saying that shape-shifting is a representation of a full body transformation and enables the creature to trick, deceive, hunt, or kill humans. So pretty much these things are not looked upon as these golden guided, you know, people, I guess, things that are out there to help. I mean, they're seeing these creatures as something a lot more dark. I can kind of understand where
correct.
The conception correct. Can come from the dark arts.
Well, with the only instance that I've ever heard where there was an actual benefit to shifting was in the early beginnings of a lot of the Native American tribes that had what were referred to as dog men. They were actually, from my understanding, they were utilizing the practice of shifting to gain intelligence and to determine where enemy forces were, and you know, to basically obtain their numbers and, you know, basically more information about their enemies. In that respect, in the beginning of the use of the practice, that was basically from the origin of it, it did have a benefit. But through time, from what I understand,
mm-hmm.
It has become twisted and contorted to be used for ill will and discontent and to wreak havoc and mayhem.
I can understand why it was used in the past for warfare and stuff like that. And I don't know, maybe there are people still doing that and having that ability in our current events that are going on out there in the world, you know, with Afghanistan and Iraq and all the stuff that's going out there. You know, not only do we possibly have remote viewers that are doing things, but, you know, they could be enlisting some of these people that are into the dark arts, you know, and are considered shapeshifters.
That's definitely a good possibility. And, you know, initially when we were discussing the concept for this show, you
mm-hmm.
mentioned, I believe, that movie, what was it, The Devil's Rock?
It's called The Devil's Rock, yeah.
You know, through history, when you look at the practices of the Nazi Party, you know, there always was a tendency to delve into things of a supernatural nature. And Basically, they would utilize alternative sources of information or mm-hmm. alternative means to try to accomplish a goal. And basically, any country that has a military, if it can prove to be beneficial to their end means, it is a possibility that they may be involved in utilizing those different aspects. There are reports of military involvement around some of the sightings of some of these creatures, but it's, unless you're actually there and you're, you know, seeing the creatures, seeing, you know, military in the area, you know, mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to actually say that it was a 100% bona fide report.
You know, what's coming to mind, Muddy, is when I think about our military and all the money that they put into scientific research to build these weapons of mass destruction, and also looking back at that movie, which is called The Devil's Rock, it was about Nazis learning how to make these different weapons of mass destruction, so to speak, but through an occult form. Sure. I know the government is trying to one-up one on the next country or whatever, but, you know, you would think with them going through all this scientific stuff that they would kind of keep things kind of just, you know, straight and narrow on that and not deviate and not think about stuff that could be outside of the norm. You know, you wonder what type of person is within the government that actually has somehow been able to manipulate or suggestively go to these other government officials and say, hey, let's try something dealing with the occult. Let's see if we can kind of harness what, let's say, the Native Americans are calling shape-shifting. And yeah, you're going to have to play with a little bit of what they call dark magic, but there's nothing to it. You know? It's odd. The average person doesn't think about things like that.
Well, the interesting thing about it is, from that perspective, if you look at it from the Native American perspective, and the way that the practice was practiced in the past and is in the present,
mm-hmm.
you would think that it would be difficult for the government basically to utilize those practices. But really and truly, from what I understand, it's very conceivable.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that that is the case, but it is very conceivable.
And I'm not going to name names, but you know what I'm talking about. But sometimes, I mean, the shapeshifters are not necessarily like these monsters that we think about. You know, it's not necessarily, for me, it's not necessarily a man that changes into a werewolf. You know what I'm saying?
Correct. And the interesting thing about it that a lot of people don't understand and realize is that every culture that exists has some form of shifter in their history.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of them are not quote unquote what you would think as being a lycan.
Yes.
Or you know, a werewolf, for those who are unfamiliar with the term lycan. They are presented in different forms, that the majority of people wouldn't even consider.
Because, like, I know of some people that are that claim to be dogmen. Can you explain to the people out there what the term dogmen means?
Well, the term dogmen from what I understand was originated from practice of basically utilizing a animal skin to provide concealment and confusion to an enemy. And this was a practice that was carried on by young warriors that were trying to gain intel on their enemies. So by wearing these animal skins, basically when the enemy would see this, they would say, oh, well, it's just a coyote, or it's just this or that, you know, associating it with an animal. Originally, that's where the term comes from, and it doesn't necessarily have a magical or supernatural origin.
Yeah. So I have a question. These people that can actually shapeshift and that are into the dark arts, in order for them to do that, would, if they wanted to get around somebody to learn information, would they kind of like study that person's habits or what things are around them? For example, you know, I love cats. Okay. Would they study to, you know, the fact that I have cats all around me, and it's a possibility that I would open up to something that was a little bit more feline that would come around me? And would they possibly try to shapeshift that way?
They could, but generally when you are dealing with a what is termed as a skinwalker. Generally, they don't normally do that in a means to. They may do it to draw you out.
Okay.
But after that, after they've got you where they want you, then it's, you know, pretty much, you know, the ball's in their court. They would or could utilize an I know an illusion is not a very good term used, but they could provide the illusion of something that you might want to approach or feel differently about, as opposed to an 8-9 foot tall, you know, werewolf looking like creature that has big long fangs and claws and wants to tear you into 15 million pieces and chew you up and spit you out.
No.
You know, I mean, who wants to walk up to something like that? if I can, you know, if they can turn into a kitty cat, you know, you would be more apt to approach that than you would a, you know, classic werewolf type creature.
Exactly.
So, I mean, anything's possible.
So in your mind, I mean, I know what I'm feeling, but in your mind, these shapeshifters and skinwalkers do exist, yes or no?
I would have to say yes.
Okay. And How do you feel about, I mean, like the, not necessarily our audience listeners out there, but the general public not understanding, is it best for them to be blind?
In some cases, it may be better that the way that I look at being blind and being, you know, being knowledgeable about different things, it's like this.
Mm-hmm.
I can only speak for myself.
Right.
Okay. And this is how it is. There was a time in my life where I did not believe in any of these things. If you had said, I saw this or I saw that, I would laugh at you.
Mm-hmm.
I would make snide remarks, poke fun at you. And that was based solely on my lack of experience and knowledge. Through time, gaining experience and knowledge, it's basically like this. Once you see and understand these things are real,
mm-hmm.
or have, you know, some credence as opposed to being a scary story that you tell somebody
right
on Halloween, you can never go back from that.
I agree.
Some of the things that I've seen and experienced, I wish never had happened, but in a way, I'm glad that they did, because, you know, now I know. But with that comes the whole process of not being able to go back. You must go forward and on to the next thing that, you know, whatever it is. And
because I feel, I mean, I'm the same as you. The thing is as a kid, I read into all this mythology. You know, I love the thing about the lichens and, you know, the vampires and zombies and all that kind of stuff. And I know that some of that stuff out there is not real. But
what's not real? What's not real?
Every story has a truth to its own. there's always some bit of truth behind everything that
Correct.
We consider a myth.
Correct.
You know,
everything that has been told from the beginning of time does have some basis in truth. But as we know, as a prime example, I could tell Rob, the Mr. Live Paranormal, our wonderful Rob.
Yeah.
I could tell him that I just bought a Ferrari. And by the time the story gets back around to Mr. Garcia, Mr. Abel Garcia, you know, I had strippers posing on my Ferrari. And, you know, that's, you know, through time, stories change, things get added, things get taken away. And somewhere in there, the basis of the truth, or the truth that the story is defined on, it becomes lost in the translation, and it's sometimes difficult to determine where the truth actually is.
Yeah. And that, you know, that's part of the research of the paranormal, or any of these teams that are out there for UFOs, Bigfoot, cryptids, whatever, is they're trying to find what is the truth and what isn't.
Correct. But with that, I am a firm believer that any person that's involved in the paranormal, the supernatural, anything that's odd, not normal, they need to reflect and be sure that they want to understand before they actually seek to understand. Because once you understand, you can't go back.
Exactly.
You know, the same it stands true for any religious belief as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you really want to look at things from a perspective that is true, what's more true to most people than their religion? You know, once you get to a certain point of, you know, realizing whatever it is that you realize within your religion, I'm being very general with that.
No, but I understand. I'm having visuals right now about the stuff I just went through over the past year.
Mm-hmm. But with that, you know, once you get to a certain point where, you know, things within your belief system, you know, they become solidified for you, you can modify what you think, but mm-hmm. once you're at that understanding, you can't un-understand something. It just doesn't happen.
I agree. And, I mean, I'm not trying to push, like, different religions on anyone, but I was involved in a marriage where I was Christian-based, and my ex was Muslim. So Islamic. And it's hard when you come together as a couple and you're already 30-plus years old and you've got this Christian background and he has this Islamic background. It doesn't matter how much he's sitting there trying to tell you how good Islam is. You know, I still have that concept, you know, of being raised Christian in my head, and it's been there for the last 30 years. And I agree. There are just some things about Christianity and how I was raised, you know, the basic foundations that will never change.
Correct.
You know, my belief in God and being Christ-led, I will never forget that. And I don't want to. I have no desire. You know, I am open to other religions and stuff, but I have no desire to go any further because I know where I stand.
Correct. And, you know, that's very similar to dealing with things of, you know, the paranormal and
exactly.
You know, supernatural. You know, once you get to a certain point, you know, you can't undo something that's been done.
Right.
And that's a lot of the reason why when you run into, this is just an interesting tidbit I'm going to throw out there.
Okay.
For all the people that, you know, may not realize, but, you know, when you have somebody who has experienced things of the nature that we're discussing tonight, you know, I can understand where an event like that, where let's say you have a skinwalker or a what some people classify as a dog man, when you have that experience, you know, I can understand where that could be traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have this whole thing going on where, you know, you're trying to correlate what you experienced in your mind with your understanding of reality, and, you know, all your beliefs come into play. And with that, I mean, I can understand where a person might actually think they're going a little bit wacko.
Mm-hmm.
But what's disheartening, seeing people that have experienced these things trying to deal with other people who haven't, who want to talk about those experiences and want to hear what's going on, but then, you know, when everything is shared, then they want to, the receiving party wants to, you know, say, oh, well, you know, he's just crazy or she's crazy or whatever, you know, and totally discount everything that the person's shared with them based on, once again, their belief structure and what they believe. And it just is very disheartening because of the simple fact that, you know, I could sit here and tell you I've experienced this, I've experienced that, yada, yada, yada. There is nothing that I can say that is going to solidify my experiences for you. Nothing. The only thing that's going to do that for you is not me telling you what I've experienced,
mm-hmm.
but is for you to experience what I've experienced. And that's why when I was involved more actively than I am now in cryptozoology,
mm-hmm.
my biggest thing with people was I would tell them, don't listen to me. I mean, if you want to know some of the things I've experienced, I'll share.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not trying to make anybody believe anything. If you want to understand, go out there and experience it for yourself. Because there's nothing that I can say or do that's going to make it real for you, you know. And I've had friends that didn't totally discount some of my experiences.
Right.
But they were in that realm of disbelief due to lack of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And through time... And being around me and seeing some of the same things that I've seen and having experiences together, some of them now, you know, they're into that place where they understand that I'm just not saying something to be heard or saying something to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
That what I'm relating is based on an actual experience and does have validity, you know, and that's something that, you know, I can't make somebody see something. How would I do that? You know, I mean, you have two people. Yeah, we're in the same location, but, you know, unless I'm actually trying to perpetrate a fraud, you know, on that person, and we're both totally taken by surprise by the event, you know, I mean, you can't just make somebody see something and see the exact same thing that I'm seeing. It's just not possible.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, it's all good and well that everybody gets around others that may have a little bit more experience or may have a little bit more knowledge. And like you said, it's good that they sit there and ask questions and may ask your opinion or if you saw certain things or whatever, but their best knowledge is going to come from their own research, you know?
Correct.
From their own understanding. Their ability to eventually see the hidden beast is going to be based off of them.
Correct.
You know?
And it's not just... It's just not cryptozoology. It's anything. You know, I mean...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I could, you know, share some of my experiences with... within what I classify as the pure paranormal, which would be like ghosts and things of that nature.
Uh-huh.
You know, I could relate some of my experiences with that, but, you know, I'm just mentioning this because it applies to everything. You know, I can tell you what I've seen and experienced, and that's cool, but, you know, you, the person receiving my story, would leave wondering, well, did they really see what they said they saw?
Right.
And the only thing that's really going to solidify that for you is to see the same thing that I am. And that's what makes it difficult to be involved in this kind of thing is because, you know, you have different levels of people. You have people that are, you know, hardcore researchers. You have people that are, you know, in it for, you know, they're trying to find a profit angle or a fame angle, which there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that, you know, if that's your thing. And then you have people that, you know, they're just in it. They're kind of like the Trekkies.
Yeah.
They're just in it to be in it to because they're interested and they'd like, you know, it's something to do. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But then you have the people that they're in it and they don't want to be. You know, they didn't ask for these things to happen. They didn't ask to see these things. And, you know,
I agree. And I'm one of them that actually came into it that way, you know?
Well, I mean, myself personally, I realize I haven't really told not the first story tonight, but that's how I ended up being involved in the things that I am is mm-hmm. because of, you know, the experiences that I have had through time that have led me to, you know, try to figure out what's what and what's going on and what does all this mean, you know.
You know, because, I mean, every time I go out there and I ask some of the members of these paranormal teams, I ask them, what got you into the paranormal field? It's almost the same story over and over again. Okay. And I'm going to tell my little side of the story, and then Mark can come back in a little bit later on his. But do your thing, man.
I'm trying to find out.
Okay.
Let's see here.
But, like with me, I mean, these different members of the teams out there, they all have some type of experience when they were young.
Correct.
With me, my older sister, because she can remember a lot more than I can, I tend to push out stuff that's bad. But when we were over in Germany and we were touring Dachau, which is one of the concentration camps, she said that as a child, I used to pick up on things, especially the spirits that were still around these death camps. And as a child, I just very humbly, very quietly said, I said, I didn't even know about it. And I just, you know, looking at the gates or whatever, I said, people died here. And I was only 4 or 5 years old. I didn't know what that was. Mom and Dad didn't really explain it. They wanted to go there. They took us there as kids. My little sister was able to look up on the gate and what was written in German. She understood. She was 3 years old. She didn't know a lick of German. My older sister, you know, the same thing. Since we have grown, there have been like certain things coming into our life that we've had sensitivity to, emotions to. My older sister at a young age was able to feel certain ghosts that were actually in this haunted castle that my parents and her were touring. I have personally gone through, and I've said this to a couple people, but I've personally gone through what can be considered paranormal attacks.
Wow.
Where I have actually felt these spirits crawl up on the bed with me and pin me down. And believe me, it had nothing to do with sleep paralysis or whatever they call that.
Correct.
I mean, the first time that happened, my older sister was in the bed with me. And again, remember I told you that three of us have always been sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
She felt whatever was in bed with us, even though I was the one that was physically being attacked and pinned down. And having the what I considered the Latin language spoke into my mouth. She felt it from across the bed, from across the way, to the point that she jumped out of the bed trying to get the light on, because she at one point really felt that we had somebody in the house physically coming. They had either, they were either hiding out in the closet or whatever, but they were physically attacking us. But she jumped out of the bed, turned on the light, and nothing was there. But we both felt it. I never stopped to ask her what she was actually feeling, because I was the one that was feeling the physical, you know, the physical pressure on the body.
Correct.
I had something similar happen this past December, but it got even more of a different type of assault. But the same thing, it's kind of weird. It's almost like the same person was doing this, and not necessarily the same person, but maybe a person that had the same ideal concept of the dark arts. I don't know necessarily if it was a spirit or entity doing this thing or if it was someone else doing it, but it started the same way. They crawled up on from the end of the bed on top of me. And I still had, now it's not my sister, but I had my ex that was downstairs. But even with all that was going on with that supernatural, paranormal attack, whatever you want to call it, the people that were near me either felt it or they didn't feel it. And so I've been through things like that. I've seen things. I've seen more so in this year. I've seen more shadow people, and I just saw a red face. That's not cool.
Red face.
A red face in the corner. Yeah, because everything starts here, and I was looking over there, and there is like a light that's on the TV, but it was above to the right, and it's almost like I saw a red scalp, because it was round. And it looked about the size of a, like the top of a basketball. That's the size of it. I don't know how long it had been there, but when I looked over there, it stayed there for a few seconds. And then it went out just like that. Seems like some things don't want us to be talking.
Well, we know what it wasn't.
Yeah. Was it a Martian? Was it a Bigfoot?
Wasn't the green-eyed monster.
And don't worry, people. These things don't scare me anymore. I just looked over there going like, what the hell am I looking at? Excuse me. The red mask of death. Speaking of. I'm sorry I got off subject there. That just kind of freaked me out, because that was not anywhere close to where like the TV's red light is.
Mm-hmm.
It was like over in the corner. And I have a hanging oil lamp that's right there, but it doesn't work and there's no light bulbs in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't see the glare from it. And what was really weird is when I was looking over to the right over here and I was listening to you talk, I was also seeing something outside. Like something moved outside.
Hmm.
I don't know if that was a reflection of what I was seeing outside, or maybe I was seeing a reflection of something that was up front here near the foyer.
Yeah.
Because I can see my little Scentsy light burner through there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really weird, because that was like blood red, and that almost reminded me of that face that I saw on the picture of that woman through one of Brock's investigations.
Yeah.
The red face of death.
Hmm. Well, I know where it ain't.
And where it's not going to be.
Yep.
It's like I was telling you, the more, I don't know if it's because I'm sick or what's going on, but the more that I'm sick, the more dreams that I'm having, the more visions that I'm having. And I just saw that face, you know, I hate to tell them, it's not scaring me. You don't know who you're screwing with. You know, if you want to, the thing is, it's like, if they want to do something to scare me, I mean, bring it on. And I'm not trying to antagonize anybody here, but it's just, bring it on. The stuff that you're doing is high school bullshit. It's elementary bullshit. You think just like throwing this little face up there that I see, or a half face or whatever, is going to scare me. It's not. Sorry, we're getting off subject here, people. We're actually experiencing a little bit of the paranormal, or I am, which it doesn't surprise me. It is Halloween.
Do I need to call? Got your earplugs in?
Yeah, do the call. Wake him up.
Too funny.
Now, Mark, what is that? Is that your coyote call?
Yeah, that's a coyote call. I'm just playing around a little bit. It is a sound you may hear in the woods, similar, not quite exactly like that. I'm just blowing to make sound, not actually to call.
Yeah, Jeep is asking, she says, what was that?
That was the booger man.
The boogeyman. excuse me, folks.
Wake up.
But the one reason why I wanted to also bring you on is you know a lot about these shapeshifters. I feel it's probably going to be, I don't know, more incidences. I don't know why I'm hanging on to that concept. It's kind of like somebody we know that likes to hang on to the incubus and the succubus concept. But I feel that it's kind of really weird, but the people that are coming around me are more and more believing in this stuff that's the supernatural, that's paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had actually several people tell me about themselves possibly being dogmen or shapeshifters, or have been told that they are, but they don't necessarily know that they are. And I just wanted people to be aware of it. I mean,
Well, here's the thing. Now, if a person, quote unquote, a person is a shifter, now, not a dog man, but a skinwalker, they will know it. And they will not tell you that they are.
That's interesting.
They will not tell you that they are a skinwalker.
And that's so that they can keep their mystery or I guess so you won't know. I mean, one more thing before we actually get off air, because I know we're getting down to the line here, we're at the last few minutes. Is it true that skinwalkers, I've heard that skinwalkers, in order for them to become a skinwalker, they actually have to kill somebody in their own family?
I have heard that. It's not necessarily, I don't know if that is 100% true.
Okay.
For example, I don't know if you've seen that new movie, Wolfman, Wolfman Among Us or whatever. The movie, you know, when the gypsy man is talking about, you know, if you recite a prayer on the full moon under the wolf's bane or whatever.
Wolf bane growing, yeah.
Yeah, then you will be turned into a werewolf. Well, there are similar instances where something similar to that is practiced, you know, within what's classified as skin, being associated with skinwalkers. And, you know, me, myself, personally, I have not seen any of these things. They're only hearsay. And also want to mention that, you know, Native Americans, they will not talk about them, because they have such a bad connotation,
right?
That, you know, they're actually afraid to talk about them because they fear that they will come around them. You know, and I can't say that I blame them for not wanting them to come around.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like the belief that they're going to speak something into existence. But it is a very interesting concept.
Yeah.
And, you know, once again, I don't claim to be an expert on skinwalkers, but, you know, I do have a little bit of knowledge there in that
right.
area. But, you know, what it actually entails, I don't know. I'm not trying to find out either.
Okay. All right, Mark, we're getting down to the last 60 seconds. I want to thank you and have you back on again.
Okay, well, thank you for having me on.
And you go enjoy your Halloween party and think of me and, you know, knock some back for me.
Well, I will have fun, but
okay.
I will leave the knocking back. I will let you handle that.
Okay, I got some here. I'm going to, because I'm going to knock myself out. But, anyways, thank you, everybody, for listening on to the Paranormal Chronicles here at liveparanormal.com, and we're very thankful to have Mark Maycheck on with us tonight, talking about the shapeshifters and the skinwalkers and our dogmen out there, and I hope you've enjoyed our Halloween show tonight. Thank you, and good night. Night, Mark.
Night. Oh.